Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Because everybody wants to put something forth, and it takes sometimes a long time to like come up with the right combinations of things.
All right, sad news from the world of music. Tom Verlaine of the band Television, the highly influential band Television, died recently at age 73. Patrick, I had no idea he was 73. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And I think, you know, my emphasis on influential, you know, is really the key. I think this is a band that only, when it was truly active, only put out two albums.
Yeah, that's right.
I know there was one, like, much later on, but, yeah, you know, in some kind of reunion effort. But you know, in terms of its core time together, you know, two albums, and, you know, didn't have any real popular success. But, man, it seems like everybody, well, within certain circles, I guess, everybody knows this band, right? It's just, it's one of those bands that is just become so important to the history of rock and roll in America, I think.
Yeah, well said. And it is amazing that just those two records became so influential, and so many people that were in bands, you know, the 80s alternative bands and the bands you and I grew up loving, cited them as an influence. And the biggest thing about it, you know, was Tom Verlaine's guitar playing.
Yes.
Intermingled with Richard Lloyd, and it was so unique and different. I mean, some people called them like the punk Grateful Dead because they would play their, you know, these long mm-hmm. songs with involved, mm-hmm. and they would even write on the record sleeve who took a solo in different songs, you know, like that's Jerry and that's Bob or whatever, but I could see that. And, you know, they would do long covers of like the 13th Floor Elevators. They used to do Fire Engine, and were known for these things. Yet the songs and the lyrics that he wrote were just very precise and tight. I mean, you think about Marquee Moon, and the lyrics are so tight and evocative and poetic, yet the song is sprawling. And I always thought that was an amazing combination that came together.
Totally agree. And I think what you're seeing in terms of the tributes mm-hmm. That, you know, that have come out since his death was announced, is first and foremost is that guitar playing, which is which is really quite amazing. And I think so two things here. One is, when you think about the scene they came up in, right, or kind of, it's almost wrong to say came up in, kind of created
way, you know,
right?
You're right,
you know, because they were playing really kind of before, you know, already before a lot of that kind of bubbled up in at CBGB's, right?
Yep.
They were like right there at the very beginning, you know? So it's interesting because I think popularly people think of CBGB's and they think of the Ramones and Blondie mm-hmm. and then probably Talking Heads, right? Like mm-hmm. those bands. And then you think, well, oh, then it obviously evolved into some like really intricate, wonderful music like Television. It's like, no, Television was there like from day one.
They were the ones. Yeah, they were the ones that went there first and asked to play.
So think about that. Like, this is not, it's the iconic punk scene, but it's kind of sort of punk rock, right?
Yeah.
It's really kind of its own thing. It's so what they created, I think the songs they created were so interesting and unique. Not just in their structure, but in their execution, right?
The main road, where the silence spreads and a mended home.
building off of that, the other thing I thought was so interesting in reading these different people's reaction, whether they're fans or even other musicians, it seemed like everybody had the same kind of experience that I had. I'm not making this up. I've even said this on the podcast when we talked about television a long time ago with Nate Scott, like one of our, you know, go back. It's like 5 years ago or so we talked about television. And I said this. I had this experience where when I got into that, to the Marquee Moon album through REM, because REM had covered See No Evil. So and it was two things. It was them covering See No Evil, and it was, you know, the fact that Marquee Moon was like always, you know, ranked very highly on best of album lists. So it was like, you know, those two things. Plus, you know, the scene they came out of, like I just mentioned, it's like, I got to listen to this. Anyway, my experience with that record was not just a cursory listen to it while you're doing something else, or, you know, even just sort of listening to it driving around or whatever. It was like, after I first heard it, I was like, no, I have to sit and listen to this record. And I would do that. It was like one of those records that you had to have on, and you could just, that could be your experience, right?
Yeah.
Just that music, right? And just sit and listen to it all the way through with nobody else around. And so many people have that same reaction. It's like, this was not music. This was music that demanded your attention, right? And that's really something, I think, in this world, right?
It really is. That's you know, it's so interesting to me when I was thinking about it, too. When I was younger and first starting to get into music, and you know, I was starting to explore a little bit outside of rock and roll and all that, I knew there was jazz, right? And jazz was over there, and then there was rock music over here. And somebody told me, and I don't know if I read it or somebody told me, that Tom Verlaine's influence was John Coltrane. His influence was not, you know, Scotty Moore or John Lennon.
Right.
His influence was trying to play the guitar like John Coltrane played the saxophone. And that just blew my mind apart. I was like, wait a minute. That can't, jazz can't go over there. Like, you can't be influenced by a jazz record and then go and play in a rock band without sounding jazzy. You know, you can't do that.
Right. Sounds like it would be corny, right? But
yes.
But wasn't at all.
It wasn't. No, it was not. And he did translate that passion and that quest that Coltrane had to make something artistic and amazing, and succeeded in many ways on those first records. You know, kind of a poetic figure for people, because he and Richard Myers, Richard Hell, they were going to boarding school in Delaware, a private school or something, and they escaped. They tried a couple times, but they finally made it once and got to New York City because they were going to be poets, you know, and they lived this threadbare existence and worked in a, you know, bookstore and all this. And it was very poetic, and eventually proved too much friction, to use a song title, between the two for Richard Hell to stay in the band. But, you know, they did get to CBGB, and they put out that little Johnny Jewel single and all kinds of stuff. And then Richard Hell went in the more punk direction. But, Yeah, it's just incredible how, and we were just talking before we turned the microphones on too, you know, Slater Kenny posted a big tribute. Mogwai, the band Real Estate, Riley Walker, a current guitar player. It's just incredible where the tendrils of all that music went and how they influenced other people. It's really incredible. But like you said, if you were putting together here's a compilation of punk from the 1970s New York scene, you would not think to put Television on there, yeah. You know?
Or if you did, it's because you understand that they were part of that scene, but it does sound very different, right? It's mm-hmm. not, I think Talking Heads might be the next closest one, right? But
yeah.
The thing about Television is it flies in the face of all the things that we think of now as sort of like the characteristics of punk rock. It's like songs, no distortion, right? They wanted you to hear this, you know, a certain amount of virtuosity, you know, they could actually play their instruments, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, it wasn't that joke like, oh, the punk rockers can't play. Like these guys, you know, did all the things that you're kind of not supposed to do,
right?
As a punk band, right?
Yeah.
It's
they
amazing.
Got mad at each other if they messed up, and that wasn't the punk right. ethos at all.
Right. But I think, you know, I mentioned the long songs. You know, I'm looking at the Marquee Moon track list, and there's only 8 songs on it,
yep.
right? And 2 of them are under 4 minutes and just barely. Right? And, you know, so you're talking, they're all, you know, 4-plus-minute songs, and then a couple of them, you know, approach 10 minutes, right? So,
yeah.
But yet, you're captivated by them. You really are. I don't know anybody who likes this band who would, you know, who would feel otherwise, like, oh, that could have been shorter. Like, nobody's ever said that about these songs, right?
No.
Edit that down. We need to make it a radio single. Like, this is the song. This is exactly the song. Yeah.
I want more of Marquee Moon. I want it to be longer than 10 minutes. Yeah.
Right.
And another thing that I think was really cool was the fact that they just had those 2 albums. And it was like, they had 2 albums and a single, and it was like, perfect. This is a perfect canon. And they didn't do anything else until, you know, later they did reform. And I do want to say that Tom Verlaine has some really good solo albums.
I was going to ask you about that because I didn't really keep up with his solo career, but I would assume that you have some.
Yeah, there's several very good ones. There's one that came out in 1987 called Flashlight that I really like.
My sweetheart wrote me this little poem about rocks, gemstones, and things. I'd like to share it with you now. Jim said it's trouble deep. It's nothing new to him. He said he follows up those dreams. They're chapters in a book. He said, now listen, I shall read. One time at sundown, I looked upon the ground, knowing I'm going back to pick up what I dropped there long ago. It's not a price I have to pay. It's not some kind of dance away. Jim told me over and over, as I walk home from work, that's when the sweet things come to life. Watching the planes come down, thinking of paradise. Jim told me one time at sundown, I looked upon the rock, knowing I'm going back to pick up what I dropped there long ago. It's not a price I have to pay. It takes place of how they say that love is a savage thing. Must have its way, he said. My room's a window like the wind. It's hard to explain these things. Jim's feeling far removed from words like these. I listen close, he said. One time at some mountain, I looked by the rock, knowing I'm going.
You know, like to the point you made, the consistency of Television is not there, but there are songs on every record that are like really, really good. And you're like, wow, I could see this would have been, you know, a Television song or something like that. So there's great stuff. I do want to tell one quick personal anecdote, because in 1987 or 88, I don't know when it was, but it was when the Flashlight record came out, Tom Verlaine was on tour, and I forget what band he was playing with, but he played at the old 930 Club, and I was standing there watching the opening act, just kind of idly looking. I don't remember who the opening act was, and, you know, not super engaged. So I turn my head to the left, and all of a sudden, Tom Verlaine is standing right next to me, smoking a cigarette, looking at the band with kind of like this displeased sneer on his face, like, you know. But I was like, oh my God, it's Tom Verlaine. And before my mind could even unwind itself to, you know, should I say something to the guy or something like that, he was gone. But it was pretty cool to just sort of turn and see him right there. And then to see him play the guitar was, you know, was just incredible. I feel really lucky to have been able to do that. So I know there are several people who saw television on the reunion tour, but I did not. But rest in power, Tom Verlaine. I was trying to think of a current parallel, and I couldn't really think of any all that much.
And I think the influence, so you mentioned, you know, Slater Kinney and stuff like that. I mean, I think influenced REM, so there you go. That's pretty big. Yeah. You know, I would say bands like Pavement, for sure.
Oh, yeah, you know? Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of that. I'd say probably a whole wave of, like, lo-fi musicians, you know, would have these television records in their personal collections, right?
And, you know, that's an amazing point too. I always was so impressed and excited that REM cited television as an influence, but REM didn't really ever sound a whole lot like television, and I always thought that was great too. Just, you know, helped complete the thought that television could be influenced by Coltrane but not sound anything like jazz at all. And
you raise a good point here, and I want to make this clear too as well. You know, as much as we're sort of gushing over the extended solos and you know, all of that, like, there's great hooks in these songs too.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, they I think you said that there's a great core to these songs. You know, See No Evil is probably the poppiest of all their stuff. You know, you could call that a perfect pop song, right?
You could. Mm-hmm.
And that one's pretty concise, but even the longer ones, man, they hook you in with good melodies. And
yeah,
you know, Tom Verlaine definitely knew what he was doing there as well. You know, I also want to say there's great dynamics in these songs. There's, like, great, like, builds, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not the quiet, loud, quiet thing like Nirvana. Like, you know, it's like there's, like, slow builds and stuff, and it really, you know, kind of creeps up on you and gets like, kind of explosive, you know, in ways, but then there's, like, quiet moments in the songs. You know, it's great stuff. It's great stuff. I think we all know that. All right.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. And I like you, didn't have any idea he was 73. So
wow, I know.
I know. So it's amazing. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, one last note I'll make here for those of you who have started to follow our American Band Bracket contest on the social media. It's a pure coincidence because this was planned out. You know, at least a week ago or so, the order we were going to do these, it's a pure coincidence that television was day one matchup, but I decided to keep it there because, you know, because why not? But anyway, we didn't, you know, suddenly, like, plug them in. That was something, you know, planned out. Yeah.
And certainly if anybody out there has thoughts on television or experiences, please get in touch and let us know. I think we're up to the point where we've got a pretty decent amount of fan mail that we need to go through, so we'll do that one of these days this week probably.
That'd be great. Okay, so call, leave a message, 612-440-1984. Yep. Or send an email to rock@suburbspod.com, or comment on the articles we have on social media, on Twitter or Facebook at suburbspod. All right, okay, then let's get out of here.
Okay.
Rest in power, Tom Verlaine.
Rest in power.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you later. Rest in power, Tom Verlaine.
Rest in power.